Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you in the Lord's house today. Welcome. So glad to have Scotty Martin playing accompanist today. Miss Karen is participating in a church event where her little grandson is being baptized, and so we miss her for sure, but we're glad Scotty's here. Just a prayer need. Miss Ann failed getting into her car this morning, and she's a little kind of bummed up a little bit, so, but I think she's all right overall, but let's be mindful of that and praying for her as well. But we're blessed to have you here with us today, and we want to recognize the Lord. And today is Pentecost, and it's the day we know of where, you know, Jesus had promised that he was sending his Holy Spirit to the disciples, and they were waiting 10 days after he had ascended in the upper room and praying and seeking the Lord. And then all of a sudden, and Brother Joel's going to preach on that a little bit later and read the scripture concerning that, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came and filled them. And so the Holy Spirit's been with the body of Christ ever since. And if we know Christ is our Lord and Savior, he's in us and with us, and I'm so thankful for that. So as we celebrate that today, let's pray and then we will sing together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise your holy name. We adore you and worship you. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we celebrate you today. We just ask, God, that you would move in a powerful way in our lives. Strengthen us, and that you would empower us to serve you, that you would encourage us when we're discouraged, comfort us when we're grieving. Lord, that you would convince us of the truth and convict us of our sins so that we could repent and turn to you and ask forgiveness. Lord, we love you. Thank you for working in such a powerful way in the church and in our lives. Strengthen us now as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Revive the church today. It starts with recognizing the holiness of God and His holiness today and who He is, and He is our God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We worship the Lord today. Let's stand as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. It's hymn number 3.
Welcome you this morning. Glad that you are part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, choir, for singing Come Holy Spirit. I was transported back to those that were in early worship. You've already kind of heard a little bit about this, but I was transported back to 2014, Pentecost Sunday, at the Baptist Church of Torda, Romania, and this little 12-member choir singing that song, and how powerful that was. And then for y'all to start off this worship service, that was so good. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Ken. Guests, we are glad that you're here today. If you are a guest of ours, please take a guest card. Right in front of you in the pew, you should find one. Or on the bottom right-hand side of your bulletin, you'll find a QR code. Either way, and you can hit that with your phone, and it'll take you to a guest card. You can fill that out for us. We appreciate you doing that. Take a moment, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today. Good to have you. Thank y'all for doing that.
Well, you
I
so
just
sat
here, just tears rolling down my
did
face.
Did you find Piggy?
No.
Not yet. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Are you having a birthday party? Awesome. You're going to be 5 years old. That is wonderful. Thank you so much. So we still haven't found Piggy yet. Oh, emergency Piggy. Those are important. Good. Thank you for inviting me.
A sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face.
Holy Spirit.
Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
You may be seated. As we sing Spirit of the Living God, we're going to sing that first verse two times, Will, and praise the Lord together as we do it. Hymn number 389, if you'd like to follow along.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on.
This is our prayer. Holy Spirit, we love you and thank you for being a part of our lives as followers of Jesus. And Spirit, we pray that you would bring us strength and comfort and power to live according to the word of our Father and the testimony of Jesus in his life, that we would follow his commandments and instructions for life, and that we would be on mission for you as a church as the body of Christ throughout the world, that you would bless those who are on the mission field right now. Help them, Lord, to be able to share the good news. Keep them safe as they travel from place to place, and give them your power and your strength and your provision. And I pray that you would open up doors through the power of your Spirit, Lord, to just communicate the gospel effectively, and that lives would be transformed, that disciples would be made. Lord, even here, as we're on mission for you in our community, help us to, Lord, have divine opportunities and encounters with people, divine appointments, that we can share your love and demonstrate Christ in the way we treat people and the way we speak. And Lord, that we wouldn't let it just go with an act of kindness without explaining that we do these things because of you. Lord, help us to show your love wherever we go. Magnify you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Our invitation, our offertory hymn, excuse me, is Come Thou Almighty King. It's hymn number 8. And we're going to remain seated until the last stanza. So there are 4. And we'll sing about the Holy Comforter. That'll be the next to last. So we'll stand as we sing about the Trinity, to Thee, Great One in Three. So let's sing and prepare to offer our lives unto the Lord, as well as our monetary gifts.
Come Thou, Almighty King, help us Thy name to sing, help us to praise, Father, all glorious, all victorious, come and reign over us, ancient of days. Come Thou,
be just a little bit out of place, but I'd like for each of you to put the Marsh family on the prayer list this morning. We got a text earlier this morning that Ricky was, they're trying to get him back into ICU surgery. Struggling, and it's kind of touch and go right now, so please put him on your prayer list. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, thanking you for all the blessings you've given to us. We just ask this morning that you be with the Morris family, reach down and touch and put the healing power on that family, both of them. And we just pray as we as Christians would know each and every day where our blessings come from. And as we come now to share a portion of that you've so graciously given to us, we just pray that these tithes and offerings will be used to the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
As the choir sings, I'd like for you, as you kind of pick up on the melody and everything, to sing along from where you are as we sing our prayer, Spirit Fall on Us.
Spirit.
Thank you so much, choir. Thank you, Scotty, for filling in today. Ken, thank you for leading us about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit. And choir, leading us to sing and to pray about Pentecost. So today is Pentecost on the Christian calendar. And we are going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. We're not, as Baptists, we don't follow the Christian calendar very closely. We've talked about that on many occasions. Sometimes that's okay. Sometimes that's not good. We miss out on a lot of great things because we don't follow the Christian calendar as closely as many other denominations, especially here in America. But Pentecost Sunday is obviously incredibly important. A few weeks ago, Ken said, now on Sunday, May the 19th, I'm going to be doing everything about the Holy Spirit as far as music is concerned. And I said, great, then let's just spend the whole day on Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit for us to be able to do that. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit that God gave to the church as a part of the gospel. This is as much a part of the gospel as anything. And so this then gift of the Holy Spirit given to the disciples and then to the body of Christ, 3,000 people came to know Christ, and then it went from there and it spread out the gospel. Then it was for the power of spreading the gospel and for giving the gospel to this dark, dark, lonely world. And so we saw that happen in Acts, and then how that is then played out over the 2,000-year history of the church. Once again, we don't do much about that here in the Baptist church, but I saw how important that was when I went on my mission trip several years back, 13, 14, and 15. I went on my mission trip to Romania, and so it was a preaching mission trip. And the first year that I went on that mission trip, it didn't fall on Pentecost Sunday. I didn't think that much about it. The second year that I went on the mission trip, the second Sunday that we were in Romania, we were in Cluj, Romania, and that second Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. And as we were leading up to that Sunday, I began to realize that this is a big deal around here. You know, growing up in Alabama, growing up in East Gadsden, Alabama, Pentecost just wasn't, I mean, we preached about it, we talked about it, we all knew about it, but it wasn't like on Pentecost Sunday that was a big, big, big deal. So I didn't think that much about it, and then I started hearing rumblings and them talking about Sunday, Pentecost. And so I started asking the preachers on our mission trip, is this a big deal here? And they said, Joel, it's huge in Romania. I said, really? And they said, yes. Mike Goforth, the pastor of Sardis Baptist Church, who led those 25 mission trips to Romania, Mike Goforth said, Joel, you've got to preach this Sunday on Pentecost. And I went, why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you let me know that when I was home preparing for these sermons? And he said, oh, I didn't tell you. I said, no, you didn't say a word to me about that. And so here I am on a Friday night in a motel room in Cluj, Romania, with nothing but a thin line Bible, not even a reference Bible, and a pen and paper, and me calling out to the Holy Spirit, Lord, can you do something here in me? I mean, I'm writing, literally writing, handwriting. You know how long it had been since I had handwritten a sermon? It'd been a long time. When I first got into ministry, all my sermons were handwritten. You could go back to my first sermons that I've still got in my office, and they're handwritten. And so it had been a long time since I had handwritten a sermon. I wrote a sermon out from Acts chapter 2. That Sunday morning, I was at the Baptist Church of Torda, T-U-R-D-A. They pronounce it Torda. And so here I am at the Baptist Church at Torda. It just so happens that there is a young lady who's probably in her 40s now. Her name is Melinda Cornelius, and she lives in Sardis, Alabama. She married a young man from Sardis, Alabama, and that's her hometown. That's her home church. Torda Baptist Church in Torda, Romania. And that Sunday, I had lunch with her mama and daddy and her sister and brother-in-law and her brother and about 10 other Romanians. That Sunday morning, I remember sitting, old school, and they had the furniture, you know, I'm sitting in this small little sanctuary, and I had to sit back here behind the pulpit, and the choir was not here, but the choir was over here to my right, and there was about 12 member choir, and all of a sudden, the pianist started playing Come Holy Spirit. We sang that earlier. The choir sang that as we started the worship service. So the pianist started playing Come Holy Spirit, and I thought, oh, this little 12-member choir is going to butcher this song to no end. I can't help it. That's just the human side of me. They brought that church down. I still have it. I've shown it in worship before, I think in like 2017. I put it up, got Ken to put it up on the monitor. Man, they brought the house down. This little 12-member choir singing all four parts, and I mean what little hair I had left was gone after they blew that thing. The Holy Spirit came in such power, and I took my phone out, and I just sat there recording this little choir tearing Come Holy Spirit to pieces. It was awesome. And I just remember sitting there just thinking, Lord, thank you that you've given me this experience. Well, that day at lunch, I had the opportunity to sit down with I was the only American in this lunch with about 15 Romanians. My age, can't speak English, but all of the young people could speak English. And so I would talk to them, and then I would talk to my age group, and we would talk through translation from the younger group. So I began to ask him, why is the Holy Spirit, why is Pentecost so important to you? And they said, Joel, we spent 50 years in communism. We spent 50 years of our lives with the government doing everything in its power, literally killing, imprisoning, and murdering Christians. If they could find a Christian, they would murder that Christian. So we spent our entire lives in a world that tried everything under the sun to stamp out the church, the body of Christ. And yet the church, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the church, not only did it survive underground, but it thrived. So that's why the Holy Spirit is so meaningful to us. And now, 24 years into freedom, we can get up on a Sunday morning and go to a sanctuary with brothers and sisters in Christ in freedom and worship what the Holy Spirit did through those 50 years of communism. Oh my gosh, it's a big celebration for us, Joel. I got it. All of a sudden, I got it. They had watched literally the Holy Spirit's power work in their lives and in their families and in the underground church all their life. So they believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. I was telling Blake Campbell after the early worship was over with, I remember us going into this prison ministry. But before we went into to preach to the inmates, they led us down into this dungeon. And in this dungeon was a jail cell where this famous pastor in Romania spent 20 years of his life, and none of the other Romanians knew if he was alive or if he was dead. They had no clue. What they knew that they'd come and got him when he was preaching. They took him out. They never saw him again. 20 years he spent in this jail cell. So I'm down there in this jail cell, and I'm reading all over this wall Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse. John 3:16, Acts chapter 2. I mean, all of these Bible verses, they're just everywhere. And I remember thinking to myself, how did they allow this to happen? So one of the other members of our group asked one of the Romanians, the Romanian minister that was there taking us on this tour, said, why didn't they remove all of that? And here's what the Romanian pastor said. He said, in 20 years, not one guard ever saw this handwriting on these walls. Not one guard. They never saw it. It wasn't hidden. It didn't need to be seen under black light. It was as plain as the nose on your face. It was written everywhere, Bible verses everywhere. And when the guards would go in to see this prisoner, preacher, to give him food or whatever, they never one time noticed that the walls were filled with Bible verses. Not one time. So they would tell story after story after story after story like that. And here this little redneck from East Gadsden, Alabama, just taking it all in. So I understood why the Holy Spirit's power and how they lived through that, and why then when they had the opportunity and freedom to celebrate that Holy Spirit power, why it was so important to them. We would do well to take a page out of the Romanians book about the power of the Holy Spirit. On that day of Pentecost, all believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present then was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They spoke different languages. The different languages heard their own language. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our native languages. Now here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the areas of Libya, around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews, converts from Judaism, Cretans, Arabs. We all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and they were perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, oh, they're just drunk. First of all, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is speaking and he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So this is a promise that Jesus gave to the early church, to the disciples in the early church. This promise came true and it's still true to this day. And then you will be, and this is the mission then of the Holy Spirit, is not for a one-hour worship service so that we can all show off. That's not the mission of the Holy Spirit. All right? The mission of the Holy Spirit is found, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, Romania, and all of the world. So the mission then, the power of the Holy Spirit was unleashed on the body of Christ, and it was given for the purpose of mission, to carry the gospel to a dark and lonely world. Because you can't do this on your own. Right now, as I'm preaching this sermon, there are believers in China, Romania, Spain, England, Canada, Brazil, all over the world there are believers, because that promise came true on the day of Pentecost. And it's still just as true to this day. We see this extraordinary power in the book of Acts, and we see it all throughout Christian history. Second, the promise of the Holy Spirit then is for world evangelization. That's why Jesus gave the power of the Holy Spirit. For 50 years, communists tried everything in their power to stop the church. That was one of their primary goals as communists, stop the church. They couldn't do it. They could not do it. No matter how many they imprisoned, no matter how many they killed, they could not stop it. I told a story in the early worship. We went to a church on Saturday before Pentecost Sunday. I can't remember the name of the church. But when we arrived at the church, there were about 30 Romanians there from the church and our team, and they were feeding us lunch. And so we got to talking with them. And they were talking about the church building that they were in. It was only about 15 years old, if not even that old. And they said, we used to worship in a home. Right when we first came out of communism, we worshiped in that woman's home. They pointed to that woman. And one night, you still had this leftover communist regime trying to reinsert itself. And they said, one night, we're in her home worshiping, and we think we're now okay and safe. And all of a sudden, the door flew open, and guards came in. And the preacher of the church at the time, he stood up, and he looked at those guards, and he pointed at them, and he kind of lunged at them, and he said, stop! And they stopped. They just stopped. They turned around, and they walked out. That night, they burned that house to the ground. The church started hearing about it. They ran to see if she was still alive. And sure enough, she was standing out in front of her burned house. And she was there, nothing but the clothes on her back. And everything else was literally burned to the ground. Nothing left. But they noticed one thing that was left. Right in the middle of the house. And they all kind of walked through and fumbled through this charred mess. Nothing was salvaged except one thing, a Bible that hadn't been touched by the flames, not touched. And it was just sitting there on the burned floor, open to Acts chapter 2. They grabbed that Bible, and when they built that church, that Bible is still right in front of the pulpit, opened up to Acts chapter 2 to continually remind them of the power of the Holy Spirit. In communism, in freedom, it doesn't matter. The power of the Holy Spirit for the body of Christ to continue to go forward. The task of world evangelization is not yet complete. We still need this extraordinary power to this day because the world is still just as dark and just as evil. And nothing can stop it. Isn't that great to know? How cool is that to know, church? Jesus said not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. Nothing can stop it. Nothing. We win. We win. Nothing can stop it. No government. No communism. No socialism. No ism. Nothing can stop the church. And our faith is stronger because of these truths. Jonathan Edwards once wrote, from the fall of man to our day, the work of redemption and its effect has mainly been carried on by remarkable, extraordinary communications of the Spirit of God. Though there is a more constant influence of God's Spirit always to some degree attending His ordinances, yet the way in which the greatest things have been done towards carrying on this work always have been remarkable outpourings of special seasons of mercy, I can hardly speak of it, he finished by writing. And when I saw those things that I saw in Romania, I could hardly speak about it. It was more than my little old mind could possibly understand, other than just accepting by faith the power of this thing called the Holy Spirit. Pentecost was the first of these great outpourings. And until evangelization is complete or Jesus comes again, it is our prayer for these constant, extraordinary outpourings of God's Holy Spirit to continue to push. Why did Jesus use Pentecost? Number one, because it was a celebration 50 days after Passover. 50 days after Passover, Jerusalem was packed and slammed with people. Secondly, because it was a Feast of Harvest. That was the Feast of Harvest after Passover. So now the harvest would be souls, no longer would be grain and wheat. 3,000 people were harvested on that day. Luke says, suddenly there was a sound from heaven. So the Holy Spirit is free. The Holy Spirit is sovereign, not bound to my timing, your timing, or anyone's timing, or any denomination's timing or technique. They saw tongues of fire on top of their heads. And then there was this overflowing with worship and praise. In verse 11, literally, they were speaking about the greatness of God. I remember at one point in my ministry, I got all wigged out about theologians, who's right and who's wrong. So there's been an argument about Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. There's been an argument for 2,000 years. Now, some theologians think and believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of speaking in tongues was the gift of speaking. So, as they spoke in their own language, or they spoke in a different language, a language that every different language understood. So the Elamites understood it, the Jerusalem understood it, Cappadocian, they understood it. So some theologians believe that the gift was in the speaking. Later on, as we're reading the passage of Scripture, though, Luke tells us basically that the gift was in their hearing. So was it a gift of speaking, or was it that they... So they come from Mesopotamia, but they hear in their own language. So the gift, some theologians say, no, the gift is actually in their hearing. Some say the gift was in their speaking. Some say the gift was in their hearing and not the speaking. And I got all wigged out about it because I really wanted to figure it out. So I would read, and then I would read, and I would get more confused and more confused and more confused. And then finally, theologically, I settled on this great theological promise and this great theological truth. And it is this: I don't care. Finally, one day in my office, I thought, what do I care? What do I care? Is it a gift of speaking? Is it a gift of hearing? How about this? It was a gift of both. All I know is that all of these people from all of these different languages understood that they were talking about the mighty majesty of God the Father, and they worshiped Him. How cool is that? Some were amazed and others were skeptical, and nothing has changed. 2,000 years later, I sat and listened to those Romanians tell those stories in sheer amazement. Some skeptical. Same is true to this day. The great old hymn of our faith, and we sang it earlier, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Church, I end a lot of times my sermons by saying something like this, whatever it is that I'm preaching on. If you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, you're on your own. You're on your own. Whether I'm preaching on faith or whether I'm preaching, whatever it is, you're on your own. But for those of us who know Christ as Savior and Lord, think about that promise that God has given to us. Well, that is could not be more true than today. If you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, you're living in a dark, evil, sinful world that has one goal and one goal only for you. Chew you up and spit you out. That's it. And you're on your own. And you do not have within you the power to beat it. For those of us who know Christ as our Savior and Lord, and we've trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord of our lives, Acts chapter 2 is just as true for me as it was for those disciples and those early believers. The power of the Holy Spirit, the light of the Holy Spirit lives and breathes in me in this dark, sinful, evil world. I cannot make it without the power of the Holy Spirit, period. Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit today. Thank you that we celebrate that gift. For those who do not know Christ as Savior and Lord, it is our prayer today that they'll know Jesus. And they'll know the gift of the Holy Spirit that can be given to them. For those of us that know you as Savior and Lord, Father, thank you that the gift of the Holy Spirit guides us and directs us and speaks to us and leads us each and every day. Thank you for that gift. In all things, we give you praise and honor and glory, Father. And we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit in us today. In Jesus, we pray. Our invitation is glorify thy name. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, then the gospel has been proclaimed. We pray that you'll follow through with that. The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, follow through. Just simply trust him today. If you need to come and join our church or pray at the altar, whatever the Lord leads you to, do that as we stand and sing.
Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name.
Be seated for just a moment. On the third Sunday that I was the pastor of this church, so the second Sunday of July of 1996, Lloyd Smith and Melba Ann Smith joined First Baptist Church Gunnersville and were a part of our church for about 4 or 5 years before they moved to Huntsville, Harvest, I guess, and then started attending church over there. But Melba Ann passed away a few weeks ago. We did her funeral here. And so Lloyd's started coming back to First Baptist Church. And so he's coming today saying, I want to come back home to First Baptist Church. So this is his church home. And he's glad that the Lord has led him back to First Baptist Church and his old Sunday school class. So Lloyd, welcome. Glad you're back home. I know that you're thrilled for Lloyd coming saying that he knows Christ as Savior and Lord, has followed Jesus in believers' baptism. Just saying, I'm coming back home to be a part of my church home here at First Baptist Church. All in favor? See, nobody opposed to Lloyd coming and being a part of First Baptist. So come and say a word of encouragement to him as he comes back to FBC. All right, we got anything up there, Will? We got VBS coming up, kids camp. All of the parent meeting is at 1 o'clock, and that is the 26th. Then VBS, sign up out here in front of the library. See Micah, all right? Then we got Low Country Bowl this coming week, May 21, 5 p.m., Fellowship Hall. You can sign up on the Old Lord's Supper table, and I believe that's it.
I got one more.
Oh, yeah, we got one more. Oh, yeah.
We have a missing piggy alert. And Bennett, back here, wave at everybody, Bennett. Bennett has lost her piggy. And they've been searching all over, all parts. And so, so if you've seen the piggy, we'd like to get the piggy back. So we love you, Bennett, and God bless you.
After the early worship was over with, Ken said, Ken, start telling me about this. And I said, we're doing what? We've got a slide of who? Miss Piggy? What? Then, of course, I start talking to Bennett about it, and it all starts making sense now. So help Bennett out if you can. All right, let's close by singing doxology. Come say a word of encouragement to Lloyd.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.